Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're broadcasting this week from the When in Rome department here at Car Talk Plaza.
Yeah, in honor of Columbus Day. He was Italian, you know. Someone sent me this, and I realize now as I look at it that we're going to get so much nasty mail from the Italian-American foundations of America.
No, it's all right to make fun of your own heritage.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fine, okay. Here it is. It's a list of...
I mean, Yakov Smirnov does it.
He does it. Who's he?
I don't
know. Is he Italian, too? This is... You know you're Italian if...
I like it already.
Right? You're 6'4", you can bench press 325 pounds, you shave twice a day, but you still cry when your mother yells at you. You live in a 900-square-foot bungalow, but still have two kitchens, one in the basement. In some capacity, there is a dump truck in your life.
Hey, you never know.
You netted more than $50,000 on your first communion. At some time in your life, you've called someone a mamalouk. You've been hit with a wooden spoon or had a shoe thrown at you. And my personal favorite, a high school diploma and 1 year of community college has earned you the title of professora among your aunts. Now, they're all going to send nasty letters saying, why should you be degrading your very own heritage? And the answer is, because it was funny.
Because it was, well, you know, these were especially funny for us because
every single one of them
is true,
except for bench pressing 325 pounds.
I never got to more than 280. But Mom always had the way with the wooden spoon.
Oh man,
she'd be at the stove stirring something, and she'd tap the spoon on the edge of the pot,
and you'd say something stupid,
you maybe didn't say anything. And all of a sudden, as you're turning away, you get the wooden spoon on the backside. What was that all about? 2 weeks ago Thursday, you talked back to me.
Yeah, well, hey.
Well, anyway, if you have a question
about... So, Professor, what do you want to talk about?
Anyway, if you happen to have a question about your car or your heritage, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Barb. I'm calling from St. Louis.
Can we call you Barbara?
Well, if you think I'm in trouble.
Oh, that's what your mother used to call you when you were bad?
Barbara, come over here.
Mom and the nuns.
Well, oh, the nuns.
It's an interesting thing. I don't know why this happens, but my mother and all my wives have always called me Thomas when I was in big trouble. I wonder why that is. Is that...
And the rest of the time, they call you what?
Stupid.
Stupid.
Hey, jerk. But is this a common phenomenon that when you're in trouble?
I think they're establishing formality.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Formality.
Yeah. And when you use the middle name, you know you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Barbara Ann.
Yeah.
Anyway, Barb, what's going on?
I have a 92 Mitsubishi Expo.
So do I.
No kidding.
I have the same car.
Yeah, so he's going to be an expert on this.
Oh, well, great.
I haven't driven mine for a while. But anyway, go ahead.
Run.
It's a stick shift. It's a 5-speed.
It's the 7-passenger version.
Yes.
Whoa.
It's got 122,000 miles.
Oh, it'll go that long, huh?
It's been going great.
That's good to know.
But it's starting to talk back to me when I shift gears.
Yeah.
I can barely get it into third gear, and sometimes it won't go into second unless I pull so hard I'm frightening my passengers.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put it in first, and we all get whiplash, and we proceed. But it's kind of scary, and I don't know if with that kind of mileage if I should consider trading it in or if the dealer can do
something. Trade it in. It's worth about $8. You can't trade it in.
You can't trade it in because you can't buy anything like it anymore.
I know.
If you're sitting still with the car... In other words, if you're stopped at a traffic light and you're in neutral and you step on the clutch, can you shift through all the gears?
Not within the past 3 or 4 months.
How about if the engine's off? Can you shift through the gears?
Sometimes I have to force it.
All right, that's
good. The best answer you could ever have given.
Yeah.
Oh.
That answer just saved you $500.
Oh, more.
Good.
This isn't an all-wheel drive one, is it?
Yes.
Oh, saved you
$1,500. Oh, my God.
Boy, you must have studied for this little quiz. This could have run into so much money.
Yeah, you gave us all the right answers because we were afraid that the problem was inside the transmission.
That's what it smelled like.
But because you can't shift the thing when it's sitting still, it tells us that the problem is in the shift linkage.
Okay.
And I believe this has a cable shift.
And the difference being that the linkage is outside the transmission and the transmission is inside the transmission. And so, when you go inside, it runs into big
bang. Yeah, so you may have bushings that are worn out or you may have a cable that's stretched or something, but it's going to be relatively cheap to fix.
Oh, that's good.
I mean, it might still cost hundreds, but it's not going to cost thousands.
That's good, because a new car payment would bring me way past that.
Right, and if the news is bad, I'm prepared to give you $200 for the car.
Yeah, just for the spare parts.
Exactly.
But not the shift linkage.
Good luck, Barb.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for your call.
See ya. Bye. That was good. That was, man, she was good.
Oh, she was very lucky.
And she had the answers.
Yeah.
And they were the right answers.
Yeah, good for her. 1-888-CAR-TALK or 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jose from Chicago, Illinois.
Hi, Jose. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're doing terrific. What's going on, man?
Oh, well, I've got a 95 Subaru Legacy, and either the valve covers or the camshaft covers are leaking a little bit of oil.
Well, those are the same thing. The valve,
oh, really?
Yeah, the valve covers and the camshaft covers are the same thing, yeah.
Ah, so...
How do you know this? Someone told you.
No, I actually, being from MIT, I have this kind of foolish confidence that I can diagnose a situation, even though I'm not a mechanical engineer.
Do you have a degree in literature? Like my brother does?
No. It would be worse if it was physics.
Yeah, it would be worse.
Yes, but actually it's biology, which is almost as bad.
Go ahead. So you think you're leaking from your valve covers?
Yes, I discovered it because it's leaking onto the exhaust system that's underneath.
Yeah.
And so I want to replace it myself. And I'm just wondering, is it something I can do? Am I necessarily qualified to do it? And if
oh, you're qualified, all right.
You're definitely qualified.
Have you ever changed the batteries in your flashlight? You can do it. No.
This is relatively easy.
But before you go ahead and screw up your courage here, I got to tell you that I don't think that that's where the leak is coming from.
Ah.
It's more likely to be coming from the camshaft seals on this car.
Oh.
Oh.
Those are the ones behind the timing belt, right?
Bingo. Uh-huh.
So I'd have to figure out how to remove a timing belt and all that fun.
You could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't sound as enthusiastic now as you did a few minutes ago.
Well, as I said before, it's, you know, I am a bio major, and I want to learn how to mess up my car properly. But
I mean, you don't.
Well, this might be a good first step.
Well, I would just go ahead and replace the valve cover gaskets.
Just for the heck of it?
Well, I mean, it's something you can do, even if it's the wrong thing. At least you'll find out if it's the wrong thing.
In other words, it's a confidence builder.
It is.
Ah. And you'll find out.
Well, you're not a geek, are you?
How many pencils are in your pocket right now?
None. Actually, I don't have any pockets right now.
No, nope. Oh, you don't.
No, I am...
Are you dressed?
I'm actually at work, so...
You
I,
are?
I
naked?
Am, yeah.
So you could... I do think my brother's suggestion isn't bad. I mean, it's certainly something that will help determine whether or not you are capable of going to the next step. In other words, once you replace the valve covers, if you break off the bolts and the thing leaks worse than it did when you started, then you might consider that you're a failure and you ought to move on to some other endeavor as a hobby and leave the car fixing to some professionals. On the other hand, if you can demonstrate to yourself that either you've fix the leak or didn't make it any worse than it was, then you might have sufficient courage to go ahead and take the two plastic covers off, and you could look and see if there's oil dripping out.
Oh, if it's collecting in the cover or something.
Exactly.
That's it.
It's collecting in the covers. And then what happens then is it drips down, and as you drive down the road, it gets blown onto the exhaust system. But it could be the valve covers leaking, I will admit. And you ought to give it a shot.
Okay.
And that's not that hard to do, but it'll take you a few hours. Yeah, you have any vacation time coming up in case it, you know, in case it gets out of hand?
Well, actually, it's kind of funny. My girlfriend's coming back from her business trip on Friday, so I've got a couple days before she sees my car in 15 pieces and looks at me and says, "You're not allowed to drive her car."
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, so you have her car right now that you can drive?
Yes.
What does she have for a car?
Oh, she has a brand new Scion with, I think it's a year old, with only 4,000 miles.
Well, replace her valve cover. Practice on her car while she's going.
Yeah.
Now, I think you can give this a shot. Go to the Subaru dealer, by the way, and buy the valve cover gaskets, okay? And then give
and
it a
good
shot.
Good luck, man.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
All right, and let us know your make out.
Oh, I'll see. I'll take some pictures of me covered in oil.
All right. Hey, good enough.
Yeah. Make sure you shut the engine off when you do this.
Good luck, Jose.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Sarah, and I'm in Anchorage, Alaska.
Anchorage,
Alaska. Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? Tell us, give us the big news from Anchorage in the last, you know, from the last, like, 20 months or so.
It snowed.
There's a lot.
It didn't snow, it snowed.
Just give us a thumbnail sketch.
What was the highlight of your life in Anchorage over the past 12 months?
I'll tell you.
Did it have to do with fish?
Yeah, that's related to it. It's called sunshine.
Sunshine.
Yeah. We get a lot of it in the summertime, and it is just black in the wintertime.
Yeah. And you like, which part do you like the best?
Well, the sun, of course.
The sun, of course. You know, I'll let you in on a little secret. There are places where that thing in the winter doesn't happen.
I know. I'm just here going to graduate school. And I've got one more winter to live through, and this has to do with my question.
What are you studying, like moose husbandry?
No. Actually, I'm a graduate student in counseling. I'm getting my master's in counseling.
Okay, counseling.
But my question is, I have a 95 Toyota T100, and...
Which is a pickup truck, for those who don't know.
Yeah, I love it. One problem I have with it, though, is the heater randomly works. I cannot tell when it's going to work and when it's not going to work.
We have that problem with my brother. We can never tell if he's going to work or not. You working today? Where is it? I don't know. We don't know.
Yeah, and you can imagine how in Alaska, you know, winter's coming up, in 1 month.
How does it not work?
Okay, when I turn it on, air blows out and it'll be cold.
Oh.
When it doesn't work.
Got it.
Oh.
So it's cold air, but it all the speeds work.
Yeah.
And you're able to move that lever back and forth, the one that goes from blue to red?
Yes.
And you feel, does that feel like there's something actually attached to it?
Yeah, it feels like it has tension in everything.
It does.
Do you notice any increase in the obviously small amount of heat you're getting as you move the thing to the red zone?
Oh, yeah, that's something I have noticed is that it doesn't really change.
Yeah.
And sometimes when I'm driving along, I think, oh, well, you know, I tried everything. If I just leave the switch on and there'll be this funny noise whenever it decides it wants to kick in.
Ooh, what's the noise?
It goes like this. It's like shoomp. And then it comes on.
Oh.
You know what it is?
This woman knows her answers.
If you've answered your own question.
You've answered your own question. You've made us completely unnecessary. We want to thank you for your call, Sarah. Hello, you're on Car Talk. 1-888.
No, what is it?
Well, you have various doors in the heater box. Under the dashboard, there's this contraption that houses the heater core, which is the little radiator, which the hot water is flowing through.
So when you move that little dial there from cold to hot, you're opening up a valve which allows hot water from the engine to flow into this little radiator that's down there under your feet somewhere.
Okay.
And one of those controls is messed up. But what you need to have done is to have someone stick his head up under the dashboard and see what is moving when you move that lever, because that's the crux of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Is when you move that lever from blue to red, something that should be moving isn't moving. And I suspect what's happening is the heater control valve isn't moving.
Oh.
And then when you hear the thump, it's because the valve has moved and allowed the cable to stretch out completely. And that's when the heat, and it when, and as soon
so
as
the
it moves,
heat is there, but it's not getting to your tootsies because the door isn't open.
Or the valve isn't open. And as soon as you hear that thump, within seconds you have heat.
Yes.
What you can do is, because you're going to need heat for like the next 9 months every day.
Nine?
Ten.
11. 11 and a half.
When, the day you get it to work, don't touch it.
Don't touch it at all.
No, because it'll work.
Okay.
It'll work all winter.
Right. Once you get it to the point where it works and you don't move that lever from hot, it'll continue to work every day. And you can regulate it the way my brother has done on every one of his cars by opening the windows.
Yeah.
All right.
See you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So long. Good luck.
Hey, all right. Do you remember last week's puzzler?
Last week's puzzler. How's no for you? Is that a good answer for you?
Well, I'll take it. Well, anyway, it took place in the Inky Shadows.
The Inky Shadows. I still don't remember it.
Well, stay tuned then, and I'll refresh your memory in just a minute.
You can go out to your favorite bar and have too much to drink. You can bring your work home with you and have too much to think. You can play that extra round of golf and get you too much sun. Too much just about anything can make you say I'm done. But you can't have too much truck. No, you can't have too much truck. 4x4 running boards, muffler tips, trailer hitch, bed rails, bed caps, billet grills and mud flaps, fog lights, overheads, bull bars and tail nets. It might sound a little bit much, but you can't have too much truck.
And even though NPR's guard dogs walk over and lift their legs next to our tires whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was from the World War II series. The inspiration was sent in by Todd Markin, but I had to unclarify it for everybody. So here it is.
Yeah.
Close your eyes and imagine this. It's 1944. D-Day is approaching.
Yeah.
Operation Overlord, the Normandy invasion, is just days away.
I can see it.
But only a select few know how many. Now, it's vitally important that the location of German troop concentrations and munitions dumps be communicated to the Allied command in England. Perhaps even more important, the French resistance fighters must now be put to work. Rail lines and bridges need to be taken out, and the timing is critical.
Yeah.
Radio communication is too risky. Information must be exchanged in person. To that end, a small boat leaves England headed for the French coast. Two robust young men quietly work the oars. There's no moon this night, and the thick overcast adds an unexpected yet welcome measure of security. The third man in the boat is too old and feeble to be of much use rowing. He works the signal light as they near the shore. Three quick flashes followed by a pause, and then two flashes. His counterpart, a retired cavalryman, a veteran of the First World War, is hunkered down in the sand on the French coast. He signals three quick flashes with his light, the all clear to come ashore.
Wow.
The men quickly exchange documents, and in an instant, they're gone.
Do they stop for coffee?
No, monsieur. The Frenchman disappearing into the inky shadows.
I knew you'd work it in.
The three in the boat swiftly and quietly rowing back to Mother England. But here's the interesting part. There were lots of German soldiers on shore patrol, each with the keen eyesight of young men. Yet none of them saw the flashing signals. The question is, why? And I think I gave the hint that it, the old men...
Are dancing girls involved?
Well, in your version of it. Now, even though Todd Markin's letter was really, really convincing, I didn't trust him. I mean, I've been embarrassed so many times before with puzzles that sounded so good. I had to consult my pal, Dr. Paul Winger, who's an ophthalmologist, to find out if, in fact, this answer was legit.
Or bogus.
And as you might suspect, the old men were critical because they had had something done to them that only old people have. They had had cataract surgery. And when you have cataracts removed, the lens is removed because the lens is what's gotten cloudy.
Yeah.
With the cataracts. And what the lens does is it filters out ultraviolet light.
Ah.
So when the lens is removed on those people who have had the surgery, they can now see ultraviolet light. And, of course, the young German soldiers, none of whom had ever had cataract surgery, could not see the light.
Wow.
So who's our winner?
Wow. The winner this week is Derek Tickle.
How would you like a name like that? That's an interesting name.
Derek Tickle.
I mean, Derek, I meant.
Oh, Derek. I like the tickle. The winner is Derek Tickle from Jonesboro, Tennessee. And for having his answer selected at random from among all the correct answers that we got, Derek is going to get from us a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at CarTalk.com, with which he can get our collection of Car Talk lore called Once Upon a Car Fire, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.
Now, this is a collection of stories we've told on the air right here on National Public Radio, believe it or not. And if these stories were on NPR, you know that means what?
Yeah, we were using them to kill time so we could come up with an answer.
Right. But they're still good stories. Anyway, congratulations, Derek. You can get your copy of Once Upon a Car Fire at the Shameless Commerce Division of CarTalk.com.
You lucky guy.
And if you didn't win this week, don't worry. Your chances will be just as lousy next week. In the meantime, give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Our number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Christine. I'm calling from Indianapolis.
Hi, Christine. How are you?
With a CH?
I'm fine. Yes, with a CH.
Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Well, I have a Camry, which is working great. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the car.
Of course
but
not.
I know. They're boring, right? But the problem is that recently I've been locking my keys in my car.
Isn't it sad that these guys kill themselves to make a car that doesn't break, and the best thing we can say about it is it's boring?
Well,
I mean, I'm going to say a couple of words to you that are going to bring back a memory that is going to make you want to embrace this car.
Don't say 63 Dodge Dart.
76 Dodge Aspen. Now, but there was a car that by this measure was not boring.
That was not boring, no.
So you keep locking the keys in the car.
Yeah.
Are you premenopausal?
Or pre-med?
Well, actually, it's funny you say that. I'm in medical school, actually.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how do you lock the keys in the car? Give us the
scenario?
Yeah.
Well, normally, you know, I'll just go park the car in the lot, and then I'll sort of put the keys down, like, right next to me. And then, you know, I'll kind of, like, put some stuff in my bag and put my coat on and all this kind
of
stuff. And then I just kind
of
get out, and I lock the door, and I shut the door, and then I realize that, you know, my keys are still sitting on the other seat or somewhere else in the car.
Oh, and you lock the door by pushing down the little hoochie-doochie there?
Exactly.
Now, you could retrain yourself to lock it only with the key.
Well, people have told me that, but, you know, I've been doing this for so long now. It's really
hard. If she
hard
could
to
retrain herself to do that, she could train herself to not forget the keys.
Yeah.
But you do need some kind of operant conditioning here, don't you think?
Yeah, I think
since
so.
Since you're in medical school?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be better if, you know, this didn't happen to begin with. But, I mean, is there some way I can, like, break into my car myself?
Oh, you want a technical solution. We're looking for a behavioral solution here.
Oh, you want some way to override the locks. Do you have one of those things that you press that opens the door remotely?
I don't, actually.
How about just a separate set of keys in your pocketbook?
Well, but see, like, if I have all these other keys around, people keep telling me I should make a couple, you know, extra copies and keep them here and keep them there. But, you know, I don't like having a lot of keys floating around. It just seems kind of like a security problem.
Oh, see, I was going to suggest that you make a key for each of your classmates. How many classmates do you have, like 25, 30?
I have about 100.
That would be even better. I mean, there'd be no chance that you wouldn't be able to find somebody that didn't have a key to your car.
Why do you lock the car anyway? What's in there? Drugs?
Nothing, really.
The keys are in it. She doesn't want to get the keys.
Are you stealing drugs from the hospital?
No.
So what's the big deal? Why do you lock it?
Well, I mean, I never used to lock the cars I drove before this one, but, you know, it's kind of new. And,
yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can give you some good advice instead of all this folly roll. I mean, there are, for example, little magnetic boxes.
Yeah, I've heard about these. I was wondering if they're any good.
Yeah. I mean, if you can find a place that's not plastic under the car or hidden away, you could hide a key in there.
And
okay.
In fact, the thing, I believe, is called hide a key.
Hide a key. And that would be a pretty straightforward solution to the thing. Then you'd have to just remember where you put the box.
That is true.
But you can probably do that.
Yeah.
I like the hide a key box.
Well, I like having the extra key in your pocketbook.
Sure.
And what's wrong with it? And you can attach it so that it can never leave your pocketbook.
That's true. Although I sometimes lock that in the car.
Oh,
I shouldn't have admitted that. But
oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you going to be one of those doctors who leaves instruments inside the patient?
I'm not going to operate on anyone.
Thank God.
I hope you're majoring in, like, dermatology.
Well, I've already made that decision. Oh, no. Cutting people open.
Yeah, no cutting people open because there's so many things to keep track of.
Exactly.
Yeah, no.
And then you can say, I think I left my keys in Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, well, good luck, Christy. This is a dilemma, but I think the hide a key may be the only reasonable solution for you. Or you do what Dougie does. He locks an extra key in the trunk.
Oh.
See you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, boy. She's definitely got too much on her mind. Too much on her plate.
But she's in medical school, so you can expect. I mean, it's not surprising that she's got too much on her mind. It's a lot of work. I remember when I went through medical school. With a broom.
If you're a swabby. 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, guys.
Hi, who's this?
This is Sean from Greenwich, Connecticut, by way of Cedral Woolley, Washington.
Hi, Sean. Is that with an S-E-A-N?
That's an S-H-A-W-N.
All right.
Really? Now, what's the difference between that and the S-E-A-N, Sean?
My way is better.
It's good enough for me.
Great.
What's up?
Well, I drive a 2001 Jeep Grand Cherokee, and I've got a problem with my brakes, I think. When I come into a stop at a fairly high rate of speed or have to stop abruptly, the car begins to vibrate, especially the steering column, and the foot pedal pulses.
Exactly.
So to speak.
Sure.
You know, what's funny is it doesn't happen when I'm braking at a normal speed or a slow speed.
It does, except you don't notice it because the pulses are so far apart, because the wheels are turning more slowly,
that you
don't feel that brrrr.
Right.
Well, why are you driving like a flaco?
I didn't used to till I moved to the East Coast. And everyone around here drives crazy.
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Where did you come from?
Cedral Woolley, Washington.
Washington State. Is it the East that's where everyone's crazy?
I just don't think we're in such a big hurry out west. I don't know.
No, as a matter of fact, I think if it weren't for all those coffee shops out there, you'd all just be sleeping all the time. They've built all those places to keep you all awake.
That could be.
Yeah. So you've got a couple of rotors that need to be replaced.
Is that it?
Exactly, yeah. The disc rotors are warped.
Well, you know, I wasn't sure. My limited knowledge, I took off a couple of tires and looked at the pads, and the pads looked fine, so I was lost.
Yeah, well, you can't tell if the discs are warped by looking at them.
Okay.
You need something called a dial indicator, which is basically a device which measures something called runout, or how far out of true they are. So the rotors may look perfectly flat, but as the wheel turns, there's a high spot on one or maybe both of these front rotors.
Uh-huh.
And that's the reason you feel it in the steering wheel. You'll feel the wheel oscillate back and forth. And no matter which disc rotor is warped, you'll always feel it telegraphing through the brake fluid. The pulsations actually get pushed up through the brake fluid and ultimately into your foot pedal.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so you need to take it to your shop and tell them that you think you have warped discs.
Well, this is exactly what I wanted, a definitive answer. I work a lot. It's tough to get my vehicle into the shop, so this is perfect. I can go in there, tell them exactly what's wrong, and have it out in a hurry.
Well, you know, a lot of shops now are open nights.
Oh, yeah?
And Saturdays. They didn't used to be open, and I wouldn't be surprised. It's only a matter of time before they're open on Sundays, too, and that eighth day of the week. I don't know how they're going to do it, but somehow or another, we're going to get another day in.
Well, there used to be a place in Cambridge called Midnight Auto Repair.
Yeah, but those guys were stealing parts.
I don't think there was no problem getting parts. Because they had a crew of young kids who were roaming the streets, and they had cell phones, and they would say, I need a starter for a 72 Chevy. And they'd find a 72 Chevy, and they would take out the starter.
Well, that's exactly what I need, because I work 7 days a week, and it's tough for me to get away from work.
Well, yeah. Get it done, because this will lengthen your braking distance.
That sounds great, because I've had some close calls.
Yeah, and I can tell you will. See you, Sean.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Julie from Queens.
Hi, Julie. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Julie from Queens.
Queens. No further explanations. Queens. There's only one Queens.
I just moved from Boston, actually.
You did?
I did.
Well, we knew you weren't from Queens. I mean, you may be living in Queens,
right.
But you're not from Queens.
Right.
And where in Queens are you?
In Sunnyside.
Sunnyside.
Yeah.
You on the sunny side of the street?
Yeah, always.
Cool.
Excellent.
Wherever I go.
That's good.
And you have a car?
Yeah, actually, two cars.
Two?
I have a Honda, and my husband has a Hyundai, and this is my question.
A Hyundai?
A Hyundai.
Yeah. And you have a Honda.
And I have a Honda. Right.
Got it.
So why, when we need to defog the windows, we have to turn on the air conditioner, even if it's in the winter. And I want to know, what do people do when they don't have air conditioning?
They crash.
Okay.
No, you don't need to turn on the air conditioner.
You don't need to.
Okay.
But it makes a difference.
But what you do need to do when you hit the defrost in either one of these cars is to also, you have a little button on the dash, one showing recirculating air,
yes,
and one is showing taking air in from outside.
Yes.
You must push the button that allows air to come in from outside.
Really?
Yes.
Otherwise, you're just circulating the stuff inside, which is moisture-laden. Otherwise, you wouldn't be turning on the defroster.
But pressing that button that stops the recirculation process and introduces outside air, believe it or not, helps to speed up tremendously. And in fact, in some Japanese cars, and I guess Korean cars too, if you do not allow outside air to come in,
you will never
get the window defrosted. You could drive to Schenectady, and the window would still be fogged up. But as soon as you hit that outside air button, it seems to clear up. Now, if you have air conditioning, it's advantageous to turn on the AC. And, in fact, lots of cars don't even give you the choice. You press the defrost button.
Yes.
It turns the AC on.
That's my husband's car. But that just seems wasteful to me. Like, doesn't that waste gas?
Well, it is wasteful.
Okay.
Well, it's not.
It is wasteful.
It's not wasteful. I mean, if you consider driving to be wasteful, but
yes,
it's not wasteful because what it's doing is what you want it to do.
No, no. But here,
defrost the windshield.
But her point is, if she
it costs you money.
It costs you money. If you
yes,
didn't, if you didn't have AC, then you wouldn't have that option, obviously.
Right.
And would you be able to defrost the window as efficiently? The answer is no.
Okay.
You know, so if you want to defrost the window as quickly as possible, because what the AC does is it doesn't really cool the air down. It removes the moisture.
Okay.
Okay? I mean, it does refrigerate the air, but its primary function is to suck moisture from inside the passenger compartment and thus lowers the humidity in there. That's why you feel cooler in the summer when you turn the AC on. And if you read the owner's book, you would know if you want to enhance the operation of the defrost mode, you turn the air conditioner on.
The owner's what?
Okay. All
right.
Yeah, it was clear that you hadn't read it.
Owner's what? Well, that's good, Julie.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, you're quite welcome. See you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, we're now at that point in the show.
Now, is this when a bevy of fair blonde maidens wafts in offering organic grapes and healing back massages to get us through the final 20 minutes of the show?
Well, yeah, kind of. Yeah, but a little different. This is when Bugsy comes in and dumps a bucket of cold water on our heads, boxes our ears, and tells us to quit bellyaching.
That works, too.
We'll be back with more of your calls in a brand new puzzle. This is from the Matchstick series.
Oh.
And that'll be in just a minute or so, so please stay tuned.
Boys and girls in Pasadena, back when L.A.'s air was cleaner, they used to ride wherever they please, going all over Los Angeles. Out in Santa Monica Pier, they ate their hot dogs and drank root beer. Yes, they used to go near and far, and they went most everywhere in their big red cars.
And even though aging hippies remove their vegan cruelty-free sandals and pound their radios with them whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ha! We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah.
And I did mention earlier
Toothpick
match,
series.
Matchstick. Matchstick or toothpick. Imagine, if you will, that you have four matchsticks of equal length, and from those you can easily make a square, okay?
I certainly can.
You can make a square. Now, at each of the vertices, there is a right angle or a 90-degree angle, right? So there are four of them.
Yes, there are.
Using those same four matchsticks, now I should mention, you are not allowed to fold, bend, break, staple, or mutilate the matches in any of the way, but using those four matchsticks, make not four 90-degree angles, but 16 90-degree angles. And you might say, can I use the third dimension?
Of course I'm going to. I've already worked on that.
Well, you can use the fifth dimension if you like.
We can use any dimensions
Would
we want.
Would you like to fly in my beautiful balloon? So you can use any dimensions that you want, but I need 16 right angles. Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the back of... Now,
wait
pay attention.
Can you use... mirrors.
No. But it's good. It shows you're on the right track. If you think you know the answer, write it on the back of a Mel Brooks deluxe DVD boxed set, including Blazing Saddles, Young Frankenstein, and a life-size color poster of Frau Blücher. And send it to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 022-38.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
But right now, if you have a car question for us, we're at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, this is Ed in Johnson City, Tennessee.
Ed, how you doing?
I'm alive.
Well, we are too, we think.
Yeah, sort of.
What's going on, Ed?
We're on the right side of the grass, as they say.
You're the viewer instead of the viewee.
What's up, man?
Okay, we have a 93 Jeep Grand Cherokee Laredo, 125,000 miles, automatic transmission. And it does three things that I suspect are related, but nobody can seem to figure it out.
Go ahead.
Okay, it pings high-test gas. If you put regular in it, it sounds like a machine gun.
It pings?
Yeah, like spark knock.
Yeah,
but it does it less so with high test?
Yes, very much less so.
Okay.
Every now and then it belches out blue smoke, makes you think you're in Los Angeles.
Oh.
Okay.
Oil pressure gauge fluctuates quite a bit, and then after you drive it for an extended period, the oil pressure will drop down from like 50 pounds to 30 pounds.
Is it 30 pounds, like revved?
You know, 65, 70 miles an hour is 35 pounds.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
But it had been for the longest time 50
right.
at that speed.
And what is it at idle?
15, 20.
Hmm.
Now, supposedly you cannot adjust the timing on that engine. There's like a pin that locates the distributor.
Right. This thing has a crank angle sensor.
Okay.
And there's no way to adjust the timing because it's done by the computer. And we're assuming because your check engine light isn't on, it's not on, right?
No.
All that stuff is working normally. You can check the timing, by the way.
Okay.
But I'm going to assume the timing is okay.
Yeah, I think it's okay also.
All right.
Here's what I think's happening.
My brother is about to come up. He's got that look on his face. You know what I mean? He's going to come up with a wacko theory.
No, I don't think it's so. It's as wacko as you think. One of the things that causes pinging is incorrect timing. We know that.
Right.
But another thing that causes it is excessively high engine operating temperature.
Yes.
That also causes low oil pressure.
Yes,
because
it does.
Very high engine operating temperature dilutes the oil, makes it thinner,
right,
and drops the pressure down.
Okay.
Okay. And I don't know about the blue smoke, but the blue... two out of three ain't bad, right, Ed?
Well, it's asphyxiated about five people behind me at a traffic light.
Yeah, I mean, it could be that, you know, your thinner oil is somehow getting burned up faster. It might be getting past the valve guides more readily or...
I mean, is this blue smoke coming out all the time?
No. It does it, you know, every now and then. I mean, you'll be sitting at a traffic light.
And all of a sudden, you're enveloped in smoke.
And all of a sudden, it's like...
Oh, how well I know it. Yeah.
Yeah, Tommy had a 56 Chevy that used to do
Man.
But it didn't do it didn't do it sporadically. It did it every single time he drove it.
And at an extended light, the car would disappear. I would be sitting there, and all of a sudden, I'd be gone.
And people would be calling, like, the missing persons bureau. Hey, there was a Chevy next to me at the light, and it's gone. I don't know what happened to it.
This is the car in which I was explaining to my 7-year-old daughter one day how the engine works. And I said, you know, gasoline goes in, and there's a little spark plug, and the spark lights up the gasoline, and it burns, and it pushes down the piston. And I didn't have a radio in the car because it had broken, and I had taken it out. And so there's this giant hole in the dashboard. And she looks into the giant hole, and she says, "Yeah, Daddy, I can see the fire." I said, "What do you mean?" She says, "Look through the hole." I pull over. I look in the hole. The engine's on fire. On the outside.
Minor detail. And then he wonders why I junk his cars. So I think you could be overheating.
Okay.
Go to your mechanic, ask him to check the engine operating temperature, and at the very least, maybe run the thing with a lower temperature thermostat in there just as an experiment. I wouldn't be surprised if your radiator is somewhat plugged up and elevating the temperature enough so that it's just getting the thing to ping.
Okay.
All right?
It sounds like probably it's just better to trade it.
Or trade it. Yeah,
you always do
but
that.
You know, it's hard to trade a vehicle that's got blue smoke coming out.
Yeah, but you can do this, Ed. You can drive it into the woods and just walk away. See?
You don't want to drive into the woods and walk out around here.
No, they might be shooting at you. See you later.
Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, take care.
All right, you too. Bye-bye. Well, Ed sounds like a fun guy. 888
Car Talk. I'm going to Johnson City, Tennessee.
That's 888.
I want to be there.
You could pick up a couple of vehicles there.
Oh, I'm sure.
227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Judy calling from Evanston, Illinois.
Is that Judy, J-U-D-I-E?
No, J-U-D-Y.
All right.
That's what I wrote down.
I'm wondering if you could settle an argument between me and my husband. We decided to buy a new car.
Don't tell us whose position is what.
Okay.
So we won't be biased, as everyone accuses us of.
Okay. We decided to buy a new car.
But let me just tell you in advance, your husband's right.
I hope not.
Okay.
Okay. We agreed on everything. We agreed on the kind of car. I wanted a car with better mileage so I could drive to work. Mm-hmm. So we agreed on a Toyota Corolla.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to this dealer and agreed on everything. And then all of a sudden, he said, "What color?"
Oh. Yeah.
And we totally disagreed. One of us wanted a light color car, and one wanted a dark color car because the one who wanted a light color car said it's safer.
Yeah, that would be you.
I won't say.
Good for you. Good for you, Judy.
Well, we'll give you first of all, before we say anything, I think it should be known here, and we should admit to the fact that both of us are colorblind.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, we should mention that. But she just talked about light and dark. We can do that.
We could do that. Yeah,
we can do light and dark.
Gray, shades
of
gray.
And the person who wanted a darker car had to do with aesthetics only?
Yeah.
Well, lighter cars are certainly safer. They're more visible. A white car, for example, is easier to keep clean than a black car, believe it or not. White cars look less lousy when they're dirty than black cars do.
Yeah, they just get less and less white. A black car, for example, as soon as something gets on it, it shows up immediately.
Against the black background. Like bird poop.
like bird poop.
Yeah, I mean, bird poop. You could have a white car half covered with bird poop. You'd barely know it.
On the other hand, if you want to wash and polish a black car, you could have a sleek black beauty.
Yeah, and it does look sensational.
And it does look sensational.
So I guess if I were choosing... I guess I'm more practical than I am artistic. I would tend to choose the lighter car.
Uh-huh.
And if you're going to get a dark car, it's going to be a car that makes more of a statement.
Yeah. I mean, if it were a 1965 Ambassador, then black is good.
I see.
But
yeah,
a Toyota Corolla.
So basically, you're telling me my husband was right.
Oh my!
Get out!
God, really?
Really? The husband is the more.
Yeah, he wanted a light color car, and I wanted this beautiful midnight blue kind of color.
Oh, midnight blue is one of my favorite colors. In fact, it may be the only color.
The only color that he sees.
Yeah.
Everything else is gray.
Yeah, no, midnight blue is pretty spectacular, I think.
Wait, now, so this is just for you and your hubby?
Well, basically, it's just for me. I was driving a minivan to work, and I was paying a ton of money in gas. So that's why we wanted to get one.
Yeah. Well, so if it's just for you, Judy...
Yeah.
You get to pick the color. And if you don't like the way it looks, you won't take care of it. I think you should use that argument.
Oh, well, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
And don't drive at night.
Right.
All right.
And get one of those flashing lights to put on the roof.
No, I was thinking of the Christmas lights. You could sprinkle them all around the car.
Uh-huh.
Not a bad idea.
Good. Okay.
Yeah,
good luck, Judy.
Thanks very much.
Enjoy your car.
I will. Okay. Bye-bye.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to release our long-life synthetic Oktoberfest oil?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps! This is the part of the show where we dig up a call.
I don't like that dig up part, man. That's a bad connotation.
Well,
how about reconnect?
We reconnect with a caller from our previous show, and we ask him if his insurance covered most of the injuries.
Anyway, who's our contestant this week?
It's Dickie from New Iberia, Louisiana. Remember Dickie?
No, but I have a vague recollection that I liked him.
You did. Dickie called us last year because his lady friend's 91 Lexus was having a little problem with the steering column.
So when he took the cover off of the steering column, water just poured out. I mean, literally poured out. There was a gallon or more water.
The water was inside the steering
inside
column?
Inside the steering column. He called the Lexus dealer, and they said it couldn't happen.
Well, ha! Ha!
Now, my question is this now.
Oh,
this young lady is 13 years younger than me. Should I keep dating her, or I mean, that has, you know, this car thing is just to get your attention.
Well, I was gonna get around to asking you about this,
and we don't want to know her age, but why don't you tell us your age?
Let's just say in the Second World War, I was around.
You were around. Well, considering the differences in your ages here, romance could be fatal, you know.
But as they say, if she dies, she dies.
I knew I liked Dickie, but what did we tell him?
We. You told him that the water was coming from under the car, not down from above.
Oh, yeah. I remember that. Well, let's see what's going on in New Iberia. Dickie, are you there?
I am here.
All right, look, before we find out what happened, we need to confirm that we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk. Is that true?
That's true.
And that the answer you're about to give here on Stump the Chumps has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or the subscription to Maxim that we sent you.
No, it wasn't influenced at all.
So tell us about the car, Dickie. What did you learn?
Well, I'll hate to admit it, but you guys were right.
Get out. What did we say? I don't even remember.
No, the water was coming up through...
Well, we had to wait until we had another big rain.
Yeah.
And about a month or so ago, we had 10 inches in one day.
Perfect.
So she went out on the highway in this car and hit some water puddles, and sure enough, there was water in the steering column again.
Yeah.
Now, on the real question...
On to the romantic part.
It did not work out because when I wanted to watch Bugs Bunny and Tom and Jerry on TV, she wanted to watch the Rugrats, so it just couldn't work out.
No kidding.
So meanwhile, I found a wonderful young lady, at my age, actually, which is still young, and we got married, and listen, if I'd...
You've been a busy guy, huh? When did we talk to you, like 2 weeks ago?
And if I'd have known growing old was this much fun, I'd have done it a long time ago.
Well, Dickie, I got a funny feeling that being around you keeps people young. You're a fun guy.
Well, I try.
Well, good luck. So how long have you been married now?
4 months.
What kind of a car does she have?
Well, she's got a little Nissan.
Great.
Well, hopefully her car and she will be all right. And we wish you the best of luck.
Well, I thank you.
That's great. Thank you. Nice to talk to you again, and thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
Well, listen, you guys going to send me a thank you note?
Oh, yeah, we'll send you.
Well, what do you mean you got to send us one?
On the back of a $100 bill.
Yeah, we'll send you a box of candy. See you, Dickie.
So long, guys.
Bye-bye.
Old geezer? He could be 100 years old.
He could be. He said
he was around during WW2.
Yeah, he didn't say that he was around during WW1. He could have been.
Could have been. He could be 100.
Anyway, it's happened again. You've annihilated another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher, Fenelosa. Our web blackie is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Britchford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman, and our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the Pontchartrain, Chow Mein, Quiche Lorraine, Champagne, and Candy Cane weight gain campaign, John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our personal hygiene advisor from the Tokyo office is Otekashawa. Our ranch foreman is Hyman Old Cowhand. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Dropoff. Our mother-in-law liaison is Stella Payne Diaz, who's married to our father-in-law liaison, Royal Payne Diaz, who are the proud parents of a teenage daughter, Sasha Payne Diaz, who has a dog, Toto Payne Diaz, and a brother in the military, Major Payne Diaz. And the head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon, our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe, is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the construction workers, taking up all the good parking spaces in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And, of course, don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
Amen. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1240, download classic Car Talk episodes, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, want more Car Talk?
You know, I always wonder what 4 million people shouting no would sound like. Anyway, for the few of you that are still undecided, you can always read our Dear Tom and Ray blog over at cartalk.com. We take whatever car questions people throw our way, except the ones that we don't know the answers to, which my brother, of course, accidentally deletes. Check out our Dear Tom and Ray blog right now over at cartalk.com. Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though buzzards start circling the NPR antenna whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.